Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, today is World Population Day. It was established by the Governing Council of the United Nations Development Programme back in 1989, and it seeks to raise awareness of global population issues. And locally, it's being marked by the campaign group Population Matters. So Helen Harron of St Albans Population Matters joined me to explain what they hope to achieve. Helen, thank you for joining me. So just remind us, what's the size of the human population on planet Earth at the moment?
Well, it's currently 7.6 billion people. It's doubled in the last 42 years. And during that time, wildlife has halved. I'm going to repeat that because I think it's so serious.
There's troubling figures, aren't they?
They are indeed.
And it does kind of show that they're connected.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So do we know the reasons for this accelerating increase?
Largely, the lack of access to contraception. This is through poverty, through women feeling not able to choose for themselves. And it's a tragedy because it's estimated that 40% of pregnancies worldwide are unplanned. When girls get an education, they become more confident to choose, and then they usually choose small families. And there are some countries like Thailand which have had excellent policies to reduce their birth rates. But this is very little celebrated, and even though it has enabled the countries concerned to come better off.
Right. So basically your point is that if women, especially poorer women, had access to contraception, they choose smaller families, and therefore the population wouldn't increase so rapidly.
Yes, well, yes, that's right.
Okay. So you said, when I introduced you, you said that the population is going up and wildlife is going down. So this is causing problems for the natural world then?
Yes. As the population goes up, there's less space for natural habitats. I can give just two quick examples of that. Take the very big animals, lions and elephants. As villages and farms near them expand and come closer to where they live, there's competition for space and resources, and that leads to conflict. But nearer home, hedgehogs. We need intensive agriculture, huge fields, and farmers need to get rid of pests. But hedgehogs need hedges. They need space to roam. They need plenty of slugs and invertebrates. These are pests to us, but food to them.
Yeah, and I suppose that you're right that actually it's the pressure to produce more food from the available land that means that farmers need to apply things like pesticides. So you wouldn't immediately think that it was a problem of population, but you shown there is a connection there.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Yeah.
And it goes on that I visited Whipsnade Zoo recently, and almost every enclosure had an information board saying that the animals inside were endangered or in decline, and that human activity was the cause. It might be hunting, habitat loss, or something else, but underlying it is always the size of our population and the amount we consume.
Okay. And, of course, this causes problems for humans as well, doesn't it, the increasing population? It's bad for the natural world, but actually it's not great for us as the human race either.
No. Well, I'll give two examples, but I imagine every one of your listeners can think of examples for themselves. There's the migration crisis. The issues I know are complex. There's war and there's poverty. But the world population doubled in the last 42 years, and that's no coincidence. And then there's our own housing crisis. That's what got me into Population Matters. I was furious when they made the decision to build on the green fields of Oakland campus. But I support a homeless charity. And you can't both keep green fields and provide houses. So I joined Population Matters and started a local group.
Well, that's true, but people round here do have access to birth control. So are the problems connected, do you think?
I think the problems are very complex. I think half the increase in our population comes from immigration and half from an excess of births over deaths. But worldwide, the problem is the lack of empowerment of women. When women and girls get an education and they have access to modern comprehensives, then the population tends to reduce.
So this would be the way that Population Matters would suggest that we deal with the issue, is it? Offering contraception, but also the education of women as well.
Yes, very much so. And we would like to see a change in attitudes, like there's been a big change over wearing seatbelts or not smoking. And we'd like to see one or two child families, no more, become the norm. And we wouldn't mind governments, including our own, having ethical policies on population.
Okay. So perhaps you think we should be leading the way in having smaller families? Because actually the birth rate in places like England is not very high, is it? We're only just replacing the population, but perhaps we should set an example to countries where it is a problem.
Yes, if we are drawing people in, then we also need to keep the birth rate moderate.
Yeah. Excellent. So Population Matters is campaigning on these issues, or is it actually offering practical assistance?
Well, it's difficult to think of actual practical assistance. We are certainly campaigning. We have our local group in St Albans, whose aim is to raise awareness of the issues. We're trying to persuade influential people, such as MPs, of the need to take action. We've written to county councillors and our local MPs about the current cuts to family planning. Family planning is one of the most cost-effective of our public services, and yet huge cuts are being made across the whole country, including Hertfordshire.
Yeah.
It's happening locally to us.
So it's even there's even things to campaign on around here. And just in case people think this is sort of like a marginal campaign, you actually have the support of some really quite influential people, don't you?
Yes. We have David Attenborough as one of our patrons. And may I just quote him? He says, "All environmental problems become harder and ultimately impossible to solve with ever more people."
Well, I think that's an excellent point on what to finish. I think that David Attenborough has made the point very well there. Helen, thank you very much indeed for joining me. And there I was talking to Helen Harron from St Albans Population Matters. And Helen suggested that you can find lots more information about the issues around population on populationmatters.org. That's the national website, where you can also find details about emails that you can write and other ways in which you can help. Or you can also get in touch with St Albans Population Matters and join in with the local campaign. I'm feeling like I should change the name of Environment Matters to the David Attenborough Show. Last week I covered Plastic Free July, and of course our concern about plastics was focused by Sir David's Blue Planet 2. As Helen just said, he's working to raise our awareness of the problems of increasing human population. And another charity in which he is actively involved is Butterfly Conservation. And Butterfly Conservation are asking us to spend 15 minutes helping them with their big butterfly count. And Malcolm Hull from Hearts and Middlesex Butterfly Conservation joined me to explain a bit more. Malcolm, thank you for joining me. Now, I don't know, to my untrained eye, it looks to me like butterflies don't mind a bit of hot weather. Are you seeing a few more butterflies around St Albans at the moment?
Yeah, butterflies are warmth-loving creatures, so a long, sunny spell like this is exactly what's good for them. We're having great numbers of butterfly sightings in St Albans and indeed across the across the country this year.
That must be great. Are there any particular butterflies that we might look out for at the moment?
Yeah, purple emperors are having a brilliant season. I mean, they've been one of the great success stories for the last few years in Hertfordshire.
Am I right in thinking they're quite a choice butterfly, aren't they?
They're amazing, yeah. They're about the biggest and most powerful butterfly we've got. Used to be really hard to see, but we're having sightings pouring in from parks and gardens all over the place.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, that makes it sound like actually we could spot butterflies all over, but are there some particular local hotspots?
Yeah, I mean, somewhere where there's long grass, you know, a park where they don't cut all the grass is a good example. Woods, you know, Brickett Wood Common, No Man's Land, any of the wooded areas around St Albans are probably good. Some of them are a bit dark and without flowers the butterflies can get into, but a nice light open wood is a brilliant place to see butterflies.
Lovely. Now, the Great British Butterfly Count, it runs until the 12th of August. Why is this important?
Well, it's the world's biggest butterfly count. It gives us a chance to assess the status of butterflies. You know, they've not been doing too well in recent years. And we're hoping the surveys this year will show us that things are picking up.
Yeah, it was a bad year last year for butterflies, wasn't it?
Yeah, they've had several bad years. And you know, overall, yeah, numbers are well down.
Although I would say that the butterfly count is going up, the number of people taking part. So that's a good ball to have rolling, isn't it?
I think people are realising just how serious the situation is for butterflies. Yeah.
Yeah. But you've got an additional theme this year as well, haven't you? It's not just about spotting butterflies for scientific purposes.
No, I mean, there'll be more about this when the national launch on the Friday the 20th. But Sir David Attenborough, who's our president, will be making the links between mental health and the benefits of watching butterflies. Mind, the mental health charity, is supporting us the survey this year. And there's an increasing body of research that shows the benefits of wildlife to people's mental health.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? You know, something you could take part in something important like this, but this will be helping you as well, which is great. Now, if we do want to take part, how do we do so?
Well, the first thing you need to do is to select a site where you're going to count butterflies. This could be in your garden, local park, somewhere in the countryside. The second thing, you need to spend 15 minutes there recording butterflies, both the numbers and the different species. And then you submit your sightings either through the Big Butterfly Count website, so it's at bigbutterflycount.org, or via the free Big Butterfly Count app, which you can download.
Yeah. Okay. And the obvious question is, are we given help with our butterfly identification, just in case we aren't familiar with our purple emperors?
Oh, yeah. There's an identification leaflet, which is available in hard copy, or you can download from the website. And there's also help with identification on the app. So if you're out in the field with looking at a butterfly, you can compare to the pictures on the app and hopefully you'll be able to work out which one it is.
That's great. So we can learn all about them as well. Now, if we do catch the butterfly bug, after the Big Butterfly Count is officially closed, we can still report our spottings, can't we? How do we do that? What would be our port of call for that?
Well, there's various ways. I mean, if you've been using the Big Butterfly Count app during the Big Butterfly Count, then there's another app called iRecord, which you can download from the App Store, which is also very helpful giving identification. Or you can just email in your sightings either to the County Butterfly Recorder, Andrew Wood, or through the Hearts of Middlesex Butterfly Conservation website.
Okay. Well, I'll make sure that I put details of how people can do that and also about some of the great events that you're organising locally on a blog on our website. And in the meantime, we hope that there's lots of butterflies to spot this year. Malcolm, thank you very much indeed for coming and telling us all about that.
Thanks, Amanda.
Oh, I think the butterfly sounding, doesn't that sound like such a lovely idea? It really does. And the identification sheets, Malcolm showed me one of them, that Butterfly Conservation provide, really do make it so easy to see what you're spotting that even the kids can take part. And you can make it sociable too. I mean, you could take a bunch of friends on a picnic up to Hartwood or one of the other local butterfly hotspots that Malcolm mentioned, and perhaps and see who can spot the most. But really, a lovely, lovely thing to do, just for 15 minutes. And as Malcolm Malcolm said, it's great for our mental well-being as well. Now, as I said to Malcolm, I'll pop a blog post onto www.radioverulam.com/environment, where I'll put all the details of what Malcolm said, plus about the events that they're organising to take part during the Big Butterfly Cant. And remember, you can always find the podcasts of our show there as well, podcasts of this show and, of course, all the shows that that we've run too. Now, a slightly grimmer thing to spot, but you know, still an important thing to do. It's time again for the People's Trust for Endangered Species Mammals on Roads survey. That's the flattened mammals on roads, unfortunately. The People's Trust for Endangered Species are asking Hertfordshire residents to record sightings of mammals, dead or alive, either online via the Mammals on Roads app or on paper forms whilst you're driving along Britain's roads network. This information, they say, will help conservationists at People's Trust for Endangered Species spot changing trends in populations and identify where conservation action is needed most. So you can find that MOR at PTES/org. And for the National Gardens Scheme this week, you're invited to visit 102 Cambridge Road in St Albans. There you can either go on Friday evening between 6 and 9 when there'll be wine, or you can go on Sunday for light refreshments between 2 and 6. It's newly planted contemporary space, sympathetically redesigned to keep as much of the existing plants, trees and shrubs in a 1930s Semis garden. It's a modern take on the classic garden in two halves, ornamental and vegetable. There's all year round interest. There's gabion borders. I'm not sure what those are, but they're packed with perennials and annuals. Bedding features a pond, a mature Japanese maple, vegetables, annuals, and everything's grown from seed. And apparently there's a Count the Frog activity for children as well. So that's the National Garden Scheme at 102 Cambridge Road. Now, you can follow me on Twitter at @RV_environment. Find me on Facebook as well, or drop us a line on amanda@radioverulam.com if you've got a comment about the show or ideas that you'd like us to cover. I'm going to be back at the same time next week. In the meantime, thank you for listening.